Hi, I'm Rob Wright with CRN, and I'm here with Kelly DeMore, editorial director of CRN and UBM Channel, and Steve Burke, editor news of CRN. And we're here to talk about HP. We have a lot going on with HP right now. HP Global Partner Conference 2012 is going on, or just wrapped up this week. And we also have an exclusive interview with Meg Whitman, the new CEO of HP. Big cover story, lots of coverage on CRN.com, interviews with a number of HP executives, the CEO of Autonomy, lots going on with HP. Kelly, I want to start with you. You actually got a chance to, you were part of the interview with Meg Whitman along with our senior editor and West Coast Bureau Chief, Kevin McLaughlin, and you got a chance to talk to her, ask her a lot of questions, and kind of get a sense of where the strategy is for HP right now. Tell us, how did that go? What were your impressions?
You know, it was a really interesting interview. I think that she is ready to listen to the channel. I think that she hasn't spoken to too many channel players as of yet, but she understands the damage that Leo Apotheker has done within the last year. So she was really talking about stability, predictability. She was really ready to listen to the channel, and she really felt that she understood the power of the channel. One thing that she mentioned, which I thought was interesting, was she was talking about her previous experience mm-hmm. with eBay and FTD. And
oh,
she
right.
was saying that really that model, the model that FTD had in terms of independent dealers, florists, and eBay and their sellers was a channel model. Certainly not to the scale of HP,
sure.
but that she gets it. You know, she didn't have an appreciation of how big and the strength of the HP channel, but she understands it now, and she really feels that she's trying to create some predictability and stability for the channel.
And there were some symbolic things, I guess, that were done when she arrived. I thought were kind of interesting. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, so when we went in there, it was an early morning, and it is a sea of cubes. And the last time we were in there, we were able to actually interview Mark Hurd 2 years ago, and then Leo, and it was more of an executive suite of offices
right,
with the
right.
Japanese garden off in the back and the side. And this was just cubes. So what she basically did was she got rid of the executive offices. She felt that conversations weren't necessarily happening when people were behind closed doors. And all the executives now have cubes. In fact, she encouraged me to take a picture of her cube, which I do have on my iPhone. The other thing she did was she tore down the chain link fences where the executives had special parking. Anyone can park in those parking spots. And then lastly, there wasn't wireless in all 49 buildings, and she made sure that there was wireless to create a better working environment. So, I mean, those are small things, but I do think that they are symbolic of
yeah.
what she wants to do for HP in the future.
The wireless thing is pretty incredible, and I could see how that could really win over a lot of people. Like, if you worked in a company that size, the biggest technology company in the world, and you didn't have wireless in one of your buildings, I could see how that would be a sticking point. That just come in and sort of make that gesture and make sure that it was implemented. That's pretty big.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think the HP employees have been through a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of turmoil, a lot of change over a lot of years right now. And I think that, you know, hopefully things will be stable for both the employees, for the channel, and HP can move forward and really kind of drive their strategy and their mission.
Let's talk about the damage, as you said, that Leo did, and sort of the strategic faux pas and sort of missteps that were made. A lot of people felt like HP was going to become more of a software company, that it would, you know, it's going to sell the PSG, Personal Systems Group, get rid of the PC business. That hasn't happened. They're keeping the PC business. What direction, you know, after talking with Meg Whitman, where do you see the company going? What are their sort of priorities right now?
Well, it was interesting because, you know, in light of the moves that Leo made, Meg was very, she's right away, she said, you know what, we're a hardware company
mm-hmm.
and we will build software and services on top of that, but let's not forget that we are a hardware company. I think that was what a lot of people were thinking when Leo made the announcement on that fateful day, 8/18/2011. So I think what she's trying to do is really grow software, grow services, but stitch it together with the existing, you know, technology base that they have. She's really trying to infuse innovation back into the company. When you think of HP, you think of R&D, you think of the HP way, and she's really trying to up the R&D and make sure that the groups within HP can really invest in the right technologies to grow their businesses.
And I guess looking at the company as it stands right now, going forward, there's a lot of areas like cloud computing, virtualization that are really hot, mobility. I know that the HP and women have already talked about getting back into that tablet game after the touchpad debacle, and it was a debacle to cancel that after only about 6 weeks and then dump the software platform that you paid over $1 billion for. Where do you see some of those areas going? Mobility, virtualization, cloud?
She talked specifically about the tablet. Mm-hmm. It was certainly a question we asked, certainly in light of iPad's success. We actually sat down with Meg and Todd Bradley one day before Apple's unbelievable earnings. I wonder if the questions would have been answered a little differently had they had that information of the astounding growth in iPads. But basically, she felt that on the tablet front especially, that they were going to come out with a Windows 8 tablet, and that there were and that their differentiator would be security, and that enterprises were really, really were concerned about security. I mean, I would say to some extent scoffed is probably too strong of a word, but the whole consumerization of IT, they sort of poo-pooed that and said, you know what, the enterprises will come in and this really won't be an issue.
Sure.
Personally, I'm not sure if that's necessarily going to be what happens, but they felt like if they can get the right product that makes CIOs happy, that they may be able to thwart this whole consumerization of IT. She didn't talk too much about the cloud, though. I believe Kevin spoke to Donatelli about the cloud and a lot of the opportunities around that, as well as virtualization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another key player in all these emerging technologies will be Bill Vetti, and we did speak to him. And he was really talking about this, you know, his role is to be able to, again, stitch these together.
Before I turn to some of the other conversations that you had with HP executives, I wanted to ask you, I mean, autonomy was a big sticking point during Leo's tenure, just in terms of the money that was spent on it, and a lot of people didn't quite understand what the value was in that company. After talking with Meg and other executives, do you feel like you have a better idea of what they're trying to do with it?
Yeah, you know, she really defended that acquisition.
Yeah.
And we did speak to the CEO of Autonomy, Mike Lynch, mm-hmm. the former CEO, now part of HP. And there was some interesting interesting integration with some of the hardware that HP has, as well as with even some of the printing services. The thing that made sense to me in terms of the light bulb that I had in terms of some of the opportunities for the channel was a lot of their technology plays well because of the being able to see unstructured data, plays well with e-discovery and storage. So there's a lot of, I believe, synergies with ESSN and autonomy. And there's a lot of opportunity for the channel, and there has been a lot of opportunity for the channel in terms of storage needs and e-discovery and compliance sort of mandates. So that was one area where it said, oh, okay, well, that really makes a lot of sense. She did certainly defend the acquisition, and it does seem like a pretty interesting, cool technology. I think she was a little reticent in terms of when she was going to give it to the channel, because she was like, look, this is a small company, and, you know, this is like 1/120th of what we do, and we want to make sure that when we roll this out to the channel, we're not overwhelming them with leads or opportunities that they can't fulfill, because then we can, you know, you can ruin the whole integration.
Right.
So I think she was very cautious about that, but I think that they're pretty bullish on the technology in general.
It was interesting. I mean, Kevin and I were at CES this year, and HP did not have a formal presence at the show in terms of displaying a booth at the Las Vegas Convention Center or anything like that. They didn't have any official press conferences, but at a few of the sort of, you know, other events like Digital Experience or Showstoppers and stuff like that, they did have some products. And one of the things that I thought was interesting, Kevin and I both noticed that they were really playing up autonomy. Mm-hmm. So they had a booth and they were talking about autonomy and, like you said, you know, analytics and you know, handling data and working with you know, print services and things like that. It was kind of interesting as how they're trying to pitch it as a tool, not just for, you know, big businesses, but as something that maybe everyday, you know, people could use.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of interesting. So it definitely looks like they're trying to get that out there. Going back to some of the other discussions you had with executives beyond Meg Whitman, what were some of the things that stood out in those conversations? Any key points?
Yeah, you know, I think it was interesting because we also did a photo shoot while we were there with the four division heads and Meg, and there definitely seemed to be a pretty strong camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to be a good energy. When we really talked to each exec about the opportunities in their particular marketplace, but we did always ask them, well, what do you think of what Meg has brought
sure.
to the table? And they basically felt like there was, you know, she's very strong in communication. There was some stability that they, you know, that was sorely needed, especially when you look at PSG.
Right, right.
So I think that there was a sense that people were very happy that, they kind of got through the Leo thing and that Meg was here and that they feel there's a lot of opportunities for the channel for their particular technologies, and it's kind of business as usual. It's a little bit of a kind of a circuitous way to get back on track.
Right, right. I want to turn now to Steve, because you did a lot of legwork on the cover package and a lot of stories that we have about HP. You talked to a lot of partners and you got their impressions. Are they happy? Are they impressed with her so far? Do they feel like HP's going in the right direction again, or is there still some concern?
Yeah, first of all, they're so excited to have that stability.
Yeah.
And that, you know, kind of, you know, recommitment to the channel that really Meg has brought to the table. You've got to give her credit, you know, as a former candidate for governor of California. She's really used her political skills to put the partners at ease and to let them know that they're going to play an integral role going forward. So that was she's really done a masterful job out of the gate getting partners to understand, hey, look, this is the old HP. And I know at the partner conference she said, hey, look, we've got our swagger back. Let's go out and attack. So I think partners out of the gate are really excited, because you've got to remember, Hewlett Packard has the broadest and the deepest channel. One thing that Meg Whitman said when she took the job, and I think it's really important, is she said this company's important to, you know, Silicon Valley, the country, and the world, and it's very important to the channel. If HP isn't healthy, really the channel isn't healthy. It's really important.
It's kind of true. I mean, they are the biggest technology company out there, right? IT company. I mean, obviously, Apple's got a huge market cap and they're on top of the world right now. But in terms of IT and the IT channel, it's kind of, you know, I mean, IBM makes most of its money on services, and they're not as big of a player now as they used to be. HP is really it when you talk about hardware. I mean, and to think that they would get rid of that PC business is just, it's incredible what kind of upheaval that would have created. Are partners pretty happy that they've decided it? Do they feel confident that they're going to keep the PC business?
Well, partners are excited that Meg is really recommitted to the hardware business, and she said that time and time again. They're a hardware company.
Yeah.
And that said, the company faces significant challenges going forward. And I think one of the things Meg Whitman's got to do here is there's going to be a honeymoon phase, right? She's brought stability. But then there's going to be, okay, what's the substantive changes, right? She's done some symbolic stuff here. What's the substantive channel changes you're going to make to get this thing revving on all cylinders.
Sure.
Particularly given the fact that, you know, they don't have a tablet right now.
Yeah.
They're facing intense competition in the server market, which is their big high margin business, not only from Dell, but from Oracle. They've got some really big issues. So they've got to get in there. I think she's got to get her hands dirty and get into the channel, talk to partners, and find out what's really going on in the channel trenches. Because one of the things that we talk to partners about is the engagement model, the channel engagement model in enterprise accounts where Cisco and HP compete.
Yeah.
And right now, Cisco is has HP beat hands down in terms of the consistency and the real in the trenches, hand in hand work with enterprise partners in the with their server, with their unified compute system,
yeah,
and their full product set. I mean, that's a big, big challenge that HP has to overcome.
But it seems
ultimately, where it really plays out is in the field.
Yeah.
So when you see that conflict, I mean, a CEO can get up on stage and have their talking points, but they really have to make sure that all the way down to the field that the channel is supported. And you see this time and time again historically with the channel, historically with a variety of different vendors. If it is not executed from the top to the field, then there's conflict, and that's where they can lose mind share and market share. And it's interesting that Cisco, 18 months ago, had their own world of hurt,
yeah,
and they've kind of turned it around.
Yeah.
And if they're really executing according to the channel in the field, HP is really... They gotta move, you know? They really have got to get it together here.
But it seems like...
One thing I'd really like to emphasize, because that is Meg Whitman's got to do. She's got to take the politics out of the channel sales trenches, because that's what's hurting solution providers right now, is there's a lot of flip-flop, there's a lot of mixed signals in the channel trenches, both with the enterprise server storage and networking group and in the personal systems group.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to really make some substantive changes. I think, Kelly, I'd love to get you to talk a little bit about, you just written a column that talked about some of those changes. I'd love to talk about what you laid out in your column as some advice for HP.
Right, right. So, you know, it's really interesting because as we were, you know, talking to Meg and the executives, and Steve, as you were talking to a lot of VARs, everyone brought the date of August 18th, 2011, with the earnings announcement where Leo talked about getting out of the tablet and PSG and all the rest of it. And I think that, you know, to your point of, you know, getting in the trenches and taking the politics out, I think that HP needs to be mindful of the fact that while they may even appear to have the support, and you go to a show like this, of their channel, this doesn't mean that some of their biggest channel players aren't already engaging with others because of some deal in the field that went the way that they didn't want it to go. And I think they really need to understand that this happens a lot, and if they don't have clear rules of engagement, that they're going to lose market share, and they may not see it right this second, but they'll see it 6 months from now. So a couple of the things that I talked about in my column was, you know, the hard deck that HP had instituted in around 2000-2001, where there was a clear line of where HP would play and where the channel would play, and it was fair game for the channel below that hard deck. And if the channel wanted to play above the hard deck, they could, but they had to compete,
right,
you know, and they understood that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no clear hard deck right now. And quite honestly, a lot of people have adopted that model in their organizations and in the organizations that compete against HP.
Yeah.
The other thing is, when you look at HP in years past and you look at Cisco and you look at others, there's one channel chief. There's always the face to the particular organization. And I think for the channel, they know that person, they may have a relationship with that person. When they have a problem, they have that one neck to choke, that one person that will listen. HP right now is incredibly decentralized. I mean, we had our channel chief's applications come in, and HP had put in, I think, up to 12. And we said, no, we need it, you know, we narrowed it down a little bit, but each division has a channel chief.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of confusion with that, and in my opinion, they should have one channel chief that works with the divisions, but is the face of HP. And there is no face of HP. And what I heard anecdotally was that there was no channel chief MC at the HP conference. Yeah. And, you know, that's pretty striking, too, because typically in these partner conferences, you have the channel chief, they're the MC, and they, you know, they're the ones that are driving these partner shows. So, I mean, I think that they really need to think about that and consider that. And hard deck.
Yeah, I really love that you, you know, laid it on the line and really brought to the table substantive changes. And I think that the hard deck is one that is, both of those are needed, but I think the hard deck... really, that's something that HP should look really closely at. And I know Oracle President Mark Hurd just implemented that kind of high deck at Oracle. And I know the Oracle partners are really excited about it because it's pretty clear. You know, it's like, okay, here's where the Oracle direct sales guys are going to play, the highest paid direct sales force probably in the industry. And here's where your partners are going to play. We're going to help you. We want you to go to market, and by the way, those Oracle channel reps only get paid on those deals that are in that mid-market segment where the partners are incented. Compensation drives all behavior, and that's something that I'd actually see HP come clean on, the sales compensation for their direct sales reps and how it's impacting partners, because I just see a lot more conflict with the HP model than the Cisco model and some of the other companies. I mean, and I think if Meg Whitman and some of the channel people there can really bring to the table some a clear hard deck, some strong channel leadership, and some compensation changes that say, hey, look, guys, you're an extension of our sales force. That's what the channel is. An extension of the sales force. And if you talk to a number of Hewlett Packard partners right now, they don't feel like they're an extension of the sales force. And when you have that kind of feeling going on in your channel, you've got big problems.
And you know who's using that rhetoric now, Steve, that you mentioned, that are companies like Lenovo and Dell, and they're really hammering that sort of that message that you know, you're an extension of our sales force and we're not going to compete with you. And obviously they smelled blood in the water since last summer when that announcement was made about the PSG group and possibly getting out of that business. And they've tried to capitalize on it. And to your point, like, it may not happen right away, but if it starts building up, you know, a year from now, you're going to look at a lot of guys that had a lot of, hardware business going through HP that are moving now to alternatives, because there still are some alternatives. It's not as many as there used to be.
Yeah.
But obviously Lenovo and Dell are out there really hoping to get some of that business.
And I would add Cisco. I mean, one message from Cisco is, hey guys, we don't have a services arm.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
we are like all Lenovo. Through yeah. the channel. There's no services arm to compete in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I mean, I think really what the channel is asking for is clarity and predictability, and I really don't think that's too much to ask for.
I love this, clarity and predictability. And I don't think that, you know, we're far removed from the days where the channel's looking for a handout. Mm-hmm. Nobody's looking for a handout. These sales forces, these channel companies are well over 50, 60, 70% services. That's where they make their money. They're looking for clarity in the field. That's what they want from HP.
So, I mean, they obviously used to have a single channel chief. I mean, remember the days of, you know, Kevin Gilroy and I think John Thompson after that and other guys. Yeah, I mean, so do you, I mean, are they going to go back to that, or are they going to still be sort of decentralized? Because, I mean, the last person to have that role was Stephen DeFranco, correct? Was he,
Stephen DeFranco was head of the Solution Partners organization. And he was in PSG, but he was certainly a central leader. He was the host of the last America's Partners Conference. Of course, this was a global conference
last year.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do there. There's a real, they've really got to step up on that. You're right, and you know, and make a statement here in terms of one HP, right? Because the value to the partners is the full portfolio.
Right.
This is what I think HP's got to get back to. And one of the exciting things I think that we've recently, you know, discovered when we went to the partners is that there is a play, a big play for partners with autonomy. Software mm-hmm. is a big area, right? Where now if you can leverage the these data center partners that are out there, these guys that have built the data centers across the country and get them to take on the autonomy software and bring, you know, their customers and American business from the smallest to the small to the largest to the large into the cloud. HP's got great products. Yeah, they've got to fill out the line. They've really got to fortify the product line with a good tablet, right? There's a hole there. I think, you know, they just came out at the partner conference and talked about some great changes in the server line that could help partners. But we talked to Logic House, which is one of the biggest HP partners at $1.1 billion. And they're already working with autonomy. And they expect to see autonomy be part of HP's Partner One program by the end of the year. Real exciting stuff. That's big margin, big opportunity for partners. And that Partner One program, if HP can continue to you know, to pull the right levers there, that's such a you know, it's such a big asset for the company, the world's largest technology company with what remains really probably the most powerful and robust partner program in the business.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was our recommendation that they have one channel chief. You know, we'll see if they take us up on that. But Steve, to your point, I don't think anyone is looking for a handout. And really the value is the ability for these guys to stitch products and solutions across, you know, not the, you got to break down the HP silos, across the product silos and bring forth a solution that solves a business problem with their customer.
Yeah.
Now, a question about going back to the hardware, a question about their mobile strategy. Obviously, they're going to get back on the tablet game, but do you think that that they're going to be hurt? HP is going to sort of lose something now that they have had some guys leave on their, you know, on their Palm team, like John Rubenstein and a few other key people. How are they going to, I mean, are they going all in on Windows 8, does it seem like, and Palm OS is, the Web OS is just going to be open source and they're not really going to look at it anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge challenge for them. It's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do believe in this consumerization of IT, and, you know, Apple has 98% market share in the tablet market. And if you look at some of the competitors, you have some Android devices. But if you look at the competitors that are firmly in the channel, you've got Cisco, Seus, and then you've got HP. We're not really seeing much around that. You know, I think that it could be a platform where you build applications on top of it and really interesting sorts of applications. So I think there's the opportunity, but, you know, 18 months after the iPad is out and iPad is on its third iteration and the numbers that are being sold, I think it's a big, big challenge. And I think that, you know, I mean, I think that people will need an Ultrabook and they may need more functionality within their office. Again, it depends on their role. I think this could eat away at HP's hardware revenues long term. I mean, they've got to figure this out. I mean,
it's absolutely eaten into their PC sales, both in the consumer and commercial market.
Yeah.
And one thing that's got to be really brought to the table here is Apple's become a much, much bigger part of the channel in the last year. They've built a stealth effort over the last year, which we've written about here at CRN, to become a much stronger channel player. And it's in classic Apple fashion. They don't go out there and hold up a big sign and say, here we come with our channel program and our channel offering. But they've got a formidable program and offering, and they've brought a lot of partners into the fold who are HP partners, who are former Microsoft partners, and a lot of the big enterprise partners who are making hay with Apple tablets. Now they're building mobility businesses. They aren't making but a few points on the iPads that they're selling, but it's giving them that ability to go in with a full mobile solution. They're doing their own software. They're solving business problems. And, you know, you've really got to hand it to Apple here. This is a commercial market phenomenon too, not just a, you know, a consumer market phenomenon. And when you've got companies like SAP and old line insurance companies bringing in thousands of tablets, iPad tablets at a time, these are companies that wouldn't be caught dead with a consumer product in their portfolio, you know, 5 years ago. They just wouldn't have let the product in. They've lost control.
You're even thinking of getting one.
That's right.
Oh my goodness. The world is coming to an end. Well, with that, I guess we should probably start to wrap this up. We've been going on for almost 30 minutes here. But I want to ask you guys, Mr. Kelly, we'll start with you. Just kind of closing points, something that stood out for you that you, you know, in your sort of your meetings and in the coverage and just getting to know what's going on at HP, anything that you want to...
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Meg appears to have brought in some much-needed stability, but I think there was a lot of damage that has occurred over the last year, year and a half. So I think that they really need to understand that they potentially have lost some market share, some mind share. They're behind on some technologies. We just talked about the tablet. And they really need to understand what the channel wants, what the channel needs. They need to communicate with the channel and be very clear of how what the go-to-market strategy is for HP and the channel. So I think that, you know, it's great that she's come in, but now time will tell if she can actually execute on what she's talking about. And it's a big job.
Yeah.
It's a really big job.
Yeah. Steve?
My final call for action to Meg Whitman is take the politics out of the HP channel, bring clear, compelling new channel compensation and channel engagement models to the table.
Amen. Amen. Well, Kelly, Steve, I appreciate the time. I'm glad we had a chance to sit down and talk about all the stuff that's been going on with HP, all the wonderful coverage we have of HP and Meg Whitman at CRN.com and CRN the magazine. And I appreciate all the insight and the words of wisdom. I'm Rob Wright, and on behalf of CRN, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.